Right. Good morning, church. Can you guys hear me loud and clear? Yes. How you guys doing on this wintry morning? You guys get here all right? Good. Well, I guess the real snow is supposed to be coming tonight, so praise the Lord that he kept things not too sketchy so we could get to church. I have one announcement before we get going that kind of is just the important one. So this coming up, Friday and Saturday, is our annual Thrive Marriage Retreat in Cannon Beach. Yes, okay, thank you. I'm glad some married couples are excited for that. I'm totally excited for it. So all that to say is this would be a great investment. You know, even if you guys consider your marriage just pretty great, it's good to do that extra credit work ahead of time so that it stays that way. And so this is going to be an opportunity just to break away with your spouse, to seek Jesus together, to hear what his word has to say about marriage, to be an encouragement to you guys. We have a session Friday night and then two sessions Saturday morning. So we do it at the Hallmark Resort and Spa. And so if you can get away for the evening with your spouse, you can reserve a room. If not, you can just go for the evening and go for the morning teachings on Saturday. So it's a drivable distance. So really encourage you guys to partake. We do have some spots open. You do have to pre-register, though. You can't just show up because we're limited to 100 people. So if we hit that, registration is going to close. So all the info for that is at the info desk up at the front. There's a piece of paper, and you can just put the registration fee and an envelope and turn it in. Today will be the last day to do that in person. Actually, it won't. Seek night on Thursday, you could do it too. Or you could do it online through Tithely, and there's an address where you can do that on that paper as well. But definitely encourage you guys, get signed up for that. Pastor Matt Fox and his wife from Riverview Christian Fellowship, who have many, many years of marriage and following Jesus, are going to be there to share the word with us. So super excited for that. So when we start out, the way we're going to start out today, most of you guys knew, we just got done with our annual week of prayer and fasting. How many of you guys took part in that? Okay. Well, there was great participation just visually on seeing who was showing up to the prayer meetings and what I was hearing. So it was super encouraging. And I hope that we leave today very encouraged, because what was encouraging was not only seeing the participation, but seeing how the Lord met people. I mean, God's word, his promise to us is when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And so it was very evident that the Lord was in our midst as we prayed and fasted and sought him this week. And he made that very apparent also in meeting people in different ways, including just answering prayers pretty miraculously for some. So today is a day of celebrating what God did in this last week and praising him ahead of time for how those prayers that haven't been answered yet are going to be answered. And we're going to have opportunity to hear testimonies from different people in some of the things that the Lord did in hopes of it encouraging us to continue on in prayer as we go through this year, not just a one-week thing, but we press in and seek God regularly in prayer, relying on him instead of ourselves in our lives. So I want to start out today. I'm going to use this psalm, a psalm of praise written by David, as kind of an outline for what we're going to kind of share today, some different things. But I want to go ahead and read it right off the bat. And here's what I want you to note about this specific psalm. I want you to note that as you go through it, you'll see that David's praise to God comes out of his prayers to God, all right? David's praise to God comes out of his prayers to God. And that's what you find in life, in your relationship with Jesus, that the more we pray, the more we see God meet us in our time of need, because that's what prayer is. We're going to God with our needs, realizing we need him, we need his help, we need his direction, and we see God meet us in that place. And there's different ways he can meet us. He might comfort us, he might give us peace, he might give us the direction, he might answer the prayer that we're asking. When we see him meet us in that place, it just makes us joyful, however it is. And that's what you really see in this psalm. This is Psalm 34, and I'm just going to read it straight up first, verses 1 through 10. David says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened, and he saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. I love that he starts this out with, I will praise the Lord at all times, because he's actually, this psalm, this particular psalm is written at a time where that would be hard to say. It wasn't good things that was going on in David's life, but through this acknowledgement that he's trusting in the Lord, he's going to the Lord, he's seeking him for help, And God is being good in how he responds to him, it gives him this heart of praise, no matter what's happening. So that's how we're going to start out today. We're going to sing a couple songs right off the bat and just praise the Lord because of the same reasons David says in that psalm. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer, and then we will worship. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much for your praise, or for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel overwhelmed in just, there's so much to thank you for, because just hearing, it's overwhelming hearing of all you did, not only in this community or in our church through the different prayer meetings we've had, but all over the state, as there were multiple churches that were doing the same thing, just committing the week to seeking you in prayer with fasting, and you responded. And Lord, we're just so grateful. We're grateful not just for the responses that we've already seen, but we're grateful for the ones that are still coming. Knowing that you're good, and knowing that nothing's impossible with you, we know whatever's coming, we can trust it. Just even as the psalmist says there, we know that you will give us what we need. So if we don't have it, we don't need it, and that we'll lack no good thing. So if we don't have it, it's no good. We can trust you with those things. And Lord, it was just evident your joy was amongst your people as they drew near to you this week. And we want to praise you, because you're the one, you're the rightful place that our thanks goes to. So may this be a sweet sound to you. And maybe even if some are coming here not feeling like joy for whatever reason, maybe they have something just going on hard in their life and that's what's overwhelming their thoughts. Maybe they partook this week and didn't feel like they got anything out of it. Maybe they feel like they missed out because they didn't partake and they're hearing these testimonies. Lord, we're thankful that there's no such thing as ever missing out, because here and now is the only important thing with you. And prayer is something that you've made available to us at any time. And we can start right now by crying out to you. But Lord, as we sing these truths, may they produce a heart of praise in us, as we remind ourselves of all the promises you've given us that we have reason to be hopeful in, even if from our perception things aren't good or they're hard. We have been given a reason to be hopeful in the midst of that hard and have the joy of the Lord, not a joy in our circumstances, but a joy of the Lord in knowing that you're going to see us through that hard and bring us through all right on the other end, Lord. So we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, you can give the Lord a round of applause anytime you want in this church. Man, you know, that was very fitting. I want to add something about that song because in one of the prayer meetings this week, Beth's oldest son led us in worship to that with that song. And him sitting there singing to the Lord about the importance of staying connected was the answer to a lot of prayers his parents had made, including some that I had been a part of. And I might have been on the verge of ugly crying at that moment. It was just such a blessing. So that was very appropriate. And I think it was really appropriate just to kind of reiterate, you know, the heart behind prayer. Jesus tells us in John 15, starting in verse 14, abide in me. And the idea there is being connected to Jesus. Abide, stay close in me, and I in you. If you stay close to me, I'll be close to you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, we are the branches in this example he's giving. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, Jesus being the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus telling us there that it is so important that you guys stay connected to me, because then I'll be connected to you. And there'll be much fruit. Fruit being change for the better, blessing, the power to do things you can never do in your own strength, the comfort you need, the peace you need, the direction you need. All those things are encompassed in fruit, and they all come through staying connected to Jesus. And prayer is one of the main ways we stay connected to the Lord. We're literally asking, Lord, we want to be connected. We're here to be connected to you. And so that's the heart of this week, is to remind us of the importance of staying connected to Jesus, not just for a week, but it sets the rhythm for the rest of our year of making that a priority. And it was really cool because that wasn't just happening in our church. Actually, I'm going to have the guys throw some pictures up here, but many of our sister churches had committed this same week to prayer and fasting. That's South Beach Church down in Newport. That's Lebanon Calvary Chapel down by Corvallis. It's Riverview Christian Fellowship down in Coos Bay. It's Calvary Chapel Lincoln City. Calvary Chapel Primeville. Hey, hold this for a second. I want to share this. This is actually at their high school, Kirk County High School. So I have to tell you a testimony about this because Pastor Rory is the pastor at Calvary Chapel Primeville, and his son, Russell, leads a Bible study in the school every week, just at lunchtime. And he has this great burden for his peers to see revival. And so of the things he was praying for this week, he was committing to praying and fasting to see revival amongst his peers. And so at this Bible study this week, in the middle of the week, more kids than ever showed up. On top of that, he felt led to give the gospel and give a chance for the kids to respond. 10 people stood up and received Jesus Christ. I swear God shows off for our kids. I love it. You can keep going through the pictures. That's Ashland Christian Fellowship, one of their prayer meetings. Banding Christian Fellowship, our old pastor, Jason Beals Church, Calvary Chapel Burns. And this is Calvary Chapel Corvallis. Now, let me tell you something about this, because that's impressive for a prayer meeting. They have been doing this for over 30 years, all right? And this is where Rob, Pastor Rob down there, he had the vision about 10 or so years ago and really started encouraging the other Calvary Chapels in the state to take part in this week of prayer and fasting with them. He just thought, man, this is so good for our church. It's so powerful. It sets the rhythm for us. And we'd love to do it with other churches, our other sister churches. Just all, what would that be like all throughout Oregon, just committing to praying and seeking God for a week? And that's where this started about 10 years ago. And I'm so encouraged, because every year we do it, you see greater and greater participation. I mean, obviously we look at this and we're like, wow, that is crazy. The whole church shows up for their prayer meetings. They do, like, I mean, it's like that every prayer meeting there, and it's just kind of this thing that, man, I hope we get there someday. But I'm just encouraged that every year, like, more and more people catch the vision. And when they do step out and they're like, I can't believe I haven't done this before. I mean, because God meets them in such a powerful way. And Rob would, like, he said a couple times, and it just is like amazing to me. He's like, we have so many people that actually, they want to be involved in all the prayer meetings. So like a year in advance, when they know when we're going to do it, they actually take a week of vacation off from work, because they don't want to miss any of the prayer meetings and they want to give their whole time to it. And actually, for the first time, maybe there's other people that are doing this, but for the first time, I actually heard of somebody in our church that took vacation, because they did it for the first time last year and the Lord met them in such a powerful way. They wanted the free time to be able to commit. Where is Chris here? Chris, come up. I want him just to share with you guys why he did that, because I just think it is so powerful.
You got all that room, man. Walk up there.
Oh, all by myself?
Yeah.
Okay, so say the question again. Thank you.
It really struck me that you took vacation time to so you could, you know, commit your time to praying and going to the prayer meetings. And so something happened last year when you took part that was really powerful enough to make you feel the need to do that. And I just wanted you to share with the body what that was.
Okay. Let's pray first, because I've actually been thinking about this and I want to make sure I say something that means something. Lord, I pray that you would give this opportunity to mean something for your kingdom, for the depth that people can have with you. I pray that you would calm my heart so that I can just speak freely. And I pray, Father, that you would bless your church for seeking you fervently, and that you would meet them every time, just like your word says, and that everybody can experience that, in Jesus' name. Okay, so what I really went through when I thought about it was, the fun side of it is to say I've been on a lot of vacations, and they're really not that great. Meaning, I have a good time. There's nothing wrong with that, but they're usually a lot of work, and I get back more tired than when I left. And there's always that feeling where it just doesn't feel like I got what I wanted out of it. And so I thought I'd try something new. And I spent some time in prayer about it. And the word that God gave me was that you store your treasures in heaven, and the things that you have on earth, you should use them to further the kingdom. First off, your unrighteous mammon, meaning like your money and stuff, store your treasure. Your people in heaven, they're going to get you there. So your money should, to me, should be used to further God's kingdom anytime you can, that you don't need it for, you know, your family or whatever. But I consider vacation just like that. I can use it for me, for selfish reasons, and or to help people or whatever. I've never really thought about using my vacation to help people, other than like we were going to go on a mission trip. We still might, but Mexico's kind of crazy right now. And we'll see. That's what I'm thinking. But I have no problem going and taking vacation to go do that. So why wouldn't I take some time just to seek the Lord only? and take a vacation from life and the stresses that come with work and whatever else, and just take a step back and spend the whole week just focusing on the Lord and see what happens. Because last year, I didn't take time off, and I pretty much just worked all week, and I didn't really get any time to think about why I was starving myself until the end of the day. And that seemed kind of silly to me. Not that it wasn't good, but I wanted more than that. So I decided to take Wednesday through Friday off just so I could be at every meeting and just spend all day doing nothing but seeking the Lord. And that's a weird concept because I don't really know what that looks like, or I didn't, but it's not that bad, meaning it's very natural, especially when you take a moment to pray and seek the Lord each and every thought that you take captive. You kind of have to when you're starving. So it was really good, and I got to spend extra time with my family. I got to do a lot of things that I don't normally do that I probably should do more as a father. So I just thought it was really great, and that's it. Yeah, that's it. All right.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing. It just really struck me when he was like sharing, like, yeah, I'm taking time off because I just want to be able to really, you know, like give that time to God and just seek him. And I just think that that's the right heart, right? Like, I get that not everyone can take vacation or whatnot, like it's unique situations, but that should be our heart regarding anything in our lives, right? Like, we're talking about surrender being necessary for revival. Like, Lord, I'm willing to give you whatever, you know, my vacation, my time, fill in the blank, because I don't want to hold anything back from you, because I know that you're better. You're the better thing. And so it might have looked different in all our lives, but to some degree, a lot of us, that's what our heart was this week. Man, Lord, we just want more of you. And as I was going through that psalm I read earlier, I was seeing many different things that David experienced that I heard other people experience as well, through just different things that were prayed at the prayer meetings or different things that they shared with me. And so I just want to hit on some of these topics as we go through today and give people a chance to share, because these are all things that we can all relate with. I know for a fact that we can all relate with, because we're all people, we all deal with the same things, but all things that God has offered us some sort of help with or some sort of deliverance with, and all things that we would want in our own lives. So in Psalm 34, verse 4, I love how he says, I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. Now, that answered me is in the present tense, and I think that's important because some of us saw miraculous answers right away. Some of us haven't seen those yet, but here's the thing, he still answered you. God's heard you, and he is answering you. And you might have to wait a bit to see how that answer turns out, and it might be completely different than what you thought, but you can trust that it'll be good when you get there, and he is answering you. But for some of us, we saw those answers right away. Some of us are still waiting, but here's what I like. He freed me from all my fears. So often, we have these things in our life that cause fear. And we go to God, we're supposed to, that's what he wants, us to go to God with those things, to trust him with them so that we're not worried about them. Because he's given us, as we talked about last week, all these promises that give us no reason to worry, that give us a reason to be hopeful or expect good. And he's more than capable of handling any situation because it's easy for him. So what happens is when we go to God, instead of trying to figure things out on our own or just trying to understand why is this happening, instead when we go to God, he alleviates that fear. And that is something none of us like, to be fearful, to be afraid, to be worried. And God offers relief from that. And some people experienced that this week. Maybe they saw God handle the situation right there. Maybe they're still waiting, but in the waiting, they're still not fearful because they were able to give it to God and in turn have what Philippians 4 says, a peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that isn't based on our understanding of the situation, a peace that's based on our understanding of the one who's in control of that situation and how he feels about us and what he's told us. Is there anyone in here that experienced, they went into this week fearful about something and experienced that peace that only God could give them? Raise your hand. I see some. Amen. Amen. That's something God wants to do for us all the time. And some of us, we have to do this regularly because we'll come out of like our time with the Lord and like our church on Sunday or a prayer meeting or just our private time and we'll be like, yeah, I'm not afraid. Like, Lord's got this. And then 24 hours later, we're back in that place of being fearful. And so we got to stay connected. We got to be abiding so that we can stay in that place of faith instead of fear. Maybe you've heard this said before, but fear is faith in the devil, in his lies. Because God gives us no reason to be fearful. So when we are fearful, we're choosing to believe the lies of the enemy instead of the truth of God and his word. And when we stay connected to God, he's better able to remind us. Nope, that's a lie. Don't listen to that. Here's the truth. And we're able to stand on that truth. Amen. Does anyone have a testimony that they'd like to share about God relieving their fears? Don't have to, but I just want to open this up if somebody felt led. Okay, somebody right back here. I think that's Karen, right? I'll bring you the mic, okay?
Glory to God in the highest. My daughter? Many years ago, I'm afraid to say this out loud just because she came out as gay, and I mourned, and I grieved, and I thought she was just right next to a cliff and ready to go over. And I grieved and I grieved and I mourned. And I couldn't get out from the grief until I read that verse. When Jesus told his disciples, come on, we're going to go cross over. Go to the other side. Let's get in the boat and we're going to go cross over. And Jesus went into the belly of the boat and was asleep. And in the meantime, a big storm came and was pummeling them. And they were throwing over. They were fearful. They're throwing everything over to try to save their lives. And they finally come to their senses and they go to Jesus and they say, Lord. And he said, oh, ye of little faith. And he calmed the storm. And they went to the other side. And that was when I came out from my mourning and my grieving for my children because I was frantic. I was frantic of their salvation, of the consequences. And it gave me hope to go forward. And then at the prayer meeting at noontime this week, or was it in the evening? Sorry, I don't remember which one. I was praying and I'm like, oh, I have hope for my kids. But I'm like, Lord, Jacqueline, my daughter. And somebody stood up and cited that verse, being in the belly. belly of the ship and they went to Jesus, and I was just flooded with hope for my kids, for my daughter. And I've got a grandson from my daughter. Amen. Glory to God in the highest.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I think I remember that specific to just share on fear and how sometimes we have to bring that to the altar and give it to God. Like when we're struggling with fear, like that's the answer is like, Lord, this, I don't even know why I have this fear, or I think I have this fear because I'm afraid of this thing, but I need to bring it to you because you've given me no reason to fear. Now, something else happened on that night, and I heard about it afterwards, in that the Lord gave a vision to a young woman. Where's Carly? She's right there. I'm not going to make you stand up here, but would you be willing to share that? So I heard about this after the fact, after we're talking about fear and giving it to the Lord, and then her mom was like, hey, Carly has something that the Lord showed her. She needs to share it with you. And so anyways, I was so blessed by it, I wanted her to share it with the church.
Hi. This week at one of the evening prayer meetings, I was praying that the Lord would give me the desire to want to read my Bible again. And at the time, I was sitting behind Pastor Chris in the fellowship hall. And it was really cool because not even 5 minutes later, after I was praying, I see this really big golden glowing face on the ceiling. And it was God. And all of a sudden, I see his golden arms wrap around the room. And I heard him say that this is a holy place. And I remember looking around and not seeing what flesh sees, but I could see the heart. And it was like for a minute, I was looking through God's eyes. And a little while after that, Pastor Chris was talking about surrendering it all to the Lord. And at this time, the golden glowing face was still there. And then I saw these golden glowing tiny people. And they were about 2 feet off the ground, and there was about 15 of them. But they were just sitting there, and they each had their own gray sword. And I watched them give their swords to God, and he held them, and the people got on their knees and worshiped him. And it was like they were letting the Lord fight their battles for them.
Thank you. Just thought that was such an amazing picture of, you know, what we were talking about, fear and giving things to the Lord. And even in this passage that I was reading from Psalm 34, verse 7, it says, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. And here's this young girl seeing this vision of the Lord just surrounding everyone there as they're praying about fear, and they're giving those fears to him. Something else it talks about here. It says in verse 5, those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. How many of you guys experienced joy this week as you prayed? You know, I think sometimes, I saw hands go up, that's good. Sometimes, you know, we have hard things going on in our lives. It's hard to be joyful for obvious reasons. But there's this joy talked about in the Bible, the joy of the Lord, that is separate from our hard situations. Like basically you can have joy at the same time you're going through something hard, because your joy is based in God, who's in charge of that hard. So I saw the joy of the Lord in my own life this week as I drew near to God. I saw it in so many others. And there was this one moment where it was like contagious, like Jody right there. And this was a first for me too. So Brendan Stock was leading the worship during the morning prayer sessions, and he was singing this song, one of those convicting songs, you're listening to the lyrics and you're like, do I really mean this? And it was talking about surrendering to the Lord. And I just found myself praying after singing to it, like with sharing with everyone else, Lord, I think I'm surrendering everything to you, but I fully realize there might be blind spots in my life that I'm holding on to and I'm not giving to you. So, man, Lord, I want to come before you humbly. And if there's anything in my life that I'm holding back, would you show me that? Would you reveal any areas that I need to surrender to you? Now, that is a very dangerous prayer. And I kid you not, not long after that, the best way I can describe it is the Holy Spirit came upon me and I was compelled to speak out in tongues. Now, I pray in tongues. I've been given that gift from the Lord before, but I've never had the faith to speak out in tongues. Maybe I've felt like the Lord telling me to do that. And you know, the great thing about the gifts of the Spirit is that it's wrong to look at those as like the Holy Spirit is a force that you're trying to learn to wield. You don't see that in Scripture. What you see in Scripture is the Holy Spirit comes upon people at the Lord's discretion to enable them to do God's will. We're not looking to the Holy Spirit to enable us to do our will as like some supernatural force to help us do what we want to do. No, the Holy Spirit is given to us to fulfill God's will, to do things that we can never do in our own strength and power. And so that's the best way to describe it. I was, everything in my flesh was resisting, trying to resist what God was telling me to do because I was afraid. I was like, I'm not opening my mouth without knowing what I'm going to say. Speaking in tongues is basically a gift of the Spirit. We see in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 talk about it, and it's speaking in an unknown language where you don't even know what you're saying. And it's meant to, when it's personally between you and God, like in a prayer language, it's edifying you. And when it's done out in public, it needs to be done with an interpretation after it. Otherwise, people can't be edified if they don't know what you're saying. And it's not to like not to be the main focus of any like gathering, a corporate gathering. That's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14. But so all that to say is I've resisted it till I can resist it no more. Basically, Stephen Stamile was praying as I'm fighting this, and he's talking about wanting to surrender everything in his life, including his family, and I'm just feeling convicted, like this guy wants to surrender his family, and here I won't be obedient to you. And like I'm wrestling with God, like, how can I talk if I don't know what I'm going to say? And he's like, you do it all the time. That's what you're doing when you're preaching. He's like, you think you know what you're going to say, but I'm leading you. And so I'm like, all right, Lord. And I just opened my mouth and I spoke out in tongues. And the Lord showed me grace because right away there was an interpretation, which was, I am the Lord and I am with you. And instantly, one person started giggling. And then another person, and like, it was 1 Corinthians 14:26 tells us that the gifts of the Spirit, they're meant to build up, they're meant to edify, they're meant to encourage the body. And that's what happened. People were encouraged. They were built up. They were filled with the joy of the Lord. And it was a beautiful thing to be a part of. And we saw many other people throughout this week operate in the gifts of the Spirit. There were words of wisdom spoken, words of knowledge, words of prophecy. We even saw some miraculous prayers answered. Is Tiny in class? So her son, actually, you know what? Why don't you tell this story? Because he just FaceTimed me last night to share this testimony. Go ahead. You got a mic.
So he went to the doctor on Friday for the urgent care, and he got an x-ray. He had been hurting, and so he was told that he has a broken rib. The 10th rib was broken off at the end. And so he comes, we went from urgent care and came here, and he's just devastated because, you know, his life revolves around sports. And so he comes here, and we're sitting here Friday night, and he's in the back, and at some point that night, he raised his hand for prayer, for healing, and so Brandon Clayton went up and prayed for him. And then the next morning, we get a phone call, and they said, your rib's not broken. It's apparently just bruised. So Trayton and I looked at each other, and we're just like, you heard what the doctor said too, right? I'm not crazy. Like, they said it was broken off, like, you know, and I'm like, it's not broken. It is just bruised. So to be able to celebrate that with your child of, like, you sought the Lord, you raised your hand, you got prayer, and now you have witnessed healing.
Amen.
It was really cool.
Amen. We got to be a part of a church, of an extended church miracle as well. My boys, they go to Calvary Prep online. It's like an online school, and it has a principal, teachers, everything like a normal school. And we know the principal from our other boys going there, but they had some recent a harder than hard thing. So they have a 15-year-old daughter, and they took her into the hospital not too long ago for what they thought was an injury related to volleyball, and it turned out she had a highly aggressive form of cancer. And as a result of that and the meds they're giving her, her body's having a lot of problems, one of them being with immunity. And so earlier this week, she was sick, they took her in, and what they diagnosed her with was a fungal infection in her lungs. And the prognosis they basically gave is there's nothing we can do, just take her home to be comfortable as she passes away. And I couldn't imagine anyone hearing that with their child. But they did that, wanting to go home and just surround her with family and happiness, but also just still saying, well, God could do something, you know, and just asking for prayers and sending out prayer requests. And so we got to lift her up in one of the prayer meetings together. And then a couple days later, they sent this update out. It says, hello, everyone. There have been some pretty big developments on this roller coaster ride. Tuesday night, we got Lila checked out of the hospital for what we thought was the last time. We had concurrent care set up at home and all the things needed to keep her comfortable and pain-free at home. Her aunt, who providentially is an ICU nurse, volunteered to move down from Santa Barbara to stay with us to help care for her as long as needed. We had two beautiful, restful nights and one full day of spending time with friends and family. We were trusting God for Lila's healing, either here or at home. Jared and I are determined that we would keep the house full of life and joyful for her as we possibly could, and we had friends and family, food, laughter, prayer, and worship the whole time. Last night, we had an incredible time of prayer over her with our family and a few close friends, and we anointed her head with oil and prayed for total and complete healing. Just in the short time since Lila has been at home, she has had no fevers. Her color has improved. She can move around more easily. Her pain is less. Her oxygen saturation is good, and she's more alert in herself. The plot twist came this morning when we received a phone call from a doctor we had been in contact with at St. Jude's, who is a surgical oncologist. The way we were put in touch with her through a friend of a friend is nothing short of miraculous. Long story short, it took a few days for the CT scans to be sent over to St. Jude, but once the doctors there reviewed them this morning and met together to discuss, they had a radically different view of Lila's prognosis than other doctors here at the hospital, and they asked us to immediately return her to the hospital and continue treatment. We are now checked back in. Treatment is continuing as we have an MRI with contrast tomorrow. Because of Lila's previously poor kidney function, We were unable to get an MRI with contrast earlier in this week, but since we have come home, her kidney function has improved greatly. And we are now able to get the MRI that will show in much more detail what the situation actually is with her lungs. Will you pray with us that the scans will show marked improvement, if not complete healing? It is possible the lung surgery at St. Jude's in Memphis, Tennessee, is in her future. We should know more by tomorrow. We are trusting God for her life. He is able. She is his. Yeah. So even our prayers from afar were heard and made a difference. Does anyone else have any answered prayers? And they don't have to be like, you know, you're on the verge of death. I mean, any answered prayers are amazing. But does anyone have anything else that they feel led that they'd like to share as an encouragement to the church? Right over there. All right.
There you go. When your heart starts beating fast, you know you need to follow the calling of the Lord. So I shared with my home group that I, as a young girl and into my early 20s, struggled with an eating disorder. And I thought that the nail was in the coffin on that. The Lord, you know, brought me through that and healed me. And I have come to see that there is still a thread that has been woven into my life, and that's I haven't been able to fast from food. It just felt too close to where I had been before. And a few weeks ago, I just felt the Lord bring that up in my heart again. Like, hey, what about this? Would you be willing to revisit that? And I felt like he was leading me to fast from food, and that he had more victory for me. So I did that this week, and I was able to fast from food and turn something that the enemy had for me into a victory. So I wanted to share that.
Isn't that just like the Lord to redeem those things that the enemy would mean to harm us and turn them into something to bring us closer to him and see his glory in our lives? Let's take a little moment here because I think there's more people in here that, like I said, you either saw answered prayers or you're still waiting for the answers, but they're coming. And I think the key to waiting and maintaining that joy of the Lord, maintaining that lack of fear, that peace, is to worship him in the in-between. To, in a sense, praise him ahead of time for the answer that you know is coming. And you know it's going to be good. It might not necessarily be what you think is best, but because he's good and he's promised to work all things for the good of those that love him and are called according to their purpose, you know it's going to be good. So you can very well, we can praise him ahead of the time before we even see it. I love in 2 Chronicles when the I think is it chapter 14? It's basically the Israelites, there's this big army bearing down on them and they go to the Lord because there's no way they can beat them. And he says, hey, you know, paraphrasing, you guys aren't even going to have to fight. I'm going to fight for you. And they're so confident that God's going to give them the victory, that he's going to answer their prayer. Even before they see it, this is how confident they were. They send the worship team out in front of the battle. And they go into this battle just praising God. And God takes care of the enemy before they ever even get there. And so let's do that right now. And I'm really just like thinking, if you're somebody that you didn't see the answer yet, this is what you need to do to maintain that hope, maintain that joy. You need to keep praising God until you see that answer come to pass. But know this, God is working in the background. He's heard you and he's not forgotten. And you're going to see that victory for sure. Let's go ahead and worship him. Psalm 34:8, David says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him." That phrase right there, "taste and see that the Lord is good," that really resonated with me this week because for the first time, I can honestly say that as the week went on, fasting only got easier for me. It's never been like that before. I don't know how many, have you guys experienced, did you, any of you experience that? Okay, I see some hands. I wasn't the only one, but it actually felt like it got easier. And the best way I could describe it is the Lord just kept meeting me in a more and more profound way. It was like this, what I pictured was like the Holy Spirit was moving like a wave. If you ever look at a wave, it gets bigger and more powerful as it gets closer to shore. That's what it felt like. And I was just thinking of how, isn't that just like our Christian walk? Like the more we follow Jesus, the more we choose to draw near to God, it does get easier to say no to our flesh because the more we choose God instead of our flesh, the better we see that God is than anything our flesh wants. And that's what fasting is kind of training us to do, right? We're choosing to say no to the flesh to something and say yes to God. And as we see God is so much better, we don't want the things of our flesh anymore. And I really felt one of the things the Lord was ministering to me more than anything else is he was just reminding me, Chris, this abiding, this personal time, this drawing near to me needs to be a priority. Because you're about to go somewhere where all these people that you love, that are around you to encourage you and support you all the time, it's not going to be like that. At least at first, it's just going to be me. Now, Jesus is more than enough. I often say, when he's all you have is when you realize he's all you need. But you got to stay connected to him at those times where you feel like you're all alone to let him be all you need. Amen. And I really felt like he was just reiterating that to the week as I was just close with him. Like, this is where you're going to be best off. And you got to make sure to keep this as a priority when you go into this next season over in London. Did anyone else experience that this week? Just that as they drew near to God, maybe even it was like a first time thing for you. You're a new believer. I saw somebody raise their hand. Hannah. Yeah. Amen. 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 I mean, you might only be a believer for a couple weeks, and this is the first time you're like, prayer and fasting, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to do it. And you're like, holy cow, that just rocked my world. I need to be like this all the time. Like, this is what, and that is what God wants. He wants our relationship to be like this all the time. But we got to make him that priority and put that effort in. It goes on in verse 9 to say, "Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing." Our brother, Pastor Rich from Bethany Lutheran, gave this great devotional on one of the afternoon prayer sessions on having a proper fear of the Lord. Just the idea is not fearing punishment, because there is no punishment. The punishment our sin deserved was put on Jesus, so we don't have to fear punishment. But just like we want our kids to have a healthy fear of us so they listen, we should have a reverence, a healthy fear of God. And that's what drives us to him for help in the first place. And when we have that, it says you will have all you need. It says that if there's something good, you're not going to lack it because you're trusting in God instead of trusting yourself. You're putting your hope in God. And I love that promise, because we can know, however he answers our prayers, even if it doesn't go the way we want, even if it's not the answer we want, well, if we don't have it, then we didn't need it. And God has shown me more times than not that he even knows that better than I do. I think I know what I need, but he's like, actually, you don't. I know better. And if for some reason the thing you were asking for didn't happen, well, he doesn't withhold any good thing. It wasn't good for us. But when we're putting our trust and our faith in God, when we're seeking him in prayer, those are absolutes you can know, no matter how things turn out. Because I didn't try to work it out. I didn't try to figure it out. I gave it to God, and here's what he tells me. He knows all things, so he knows what I need. So however it works out, I'm not doing without, and I lack no good thing. So if I don't have it, it wasn't good for me. If things worked out totally different than I thought, then they were good for me. But that brings incredible relief to any situation to know those things when we give it to God instead of trying to handle it ourselves. Did anyone else feel that relief? Just having something heavy you were carrying, like a weight, but you were able to give it to God and you came out of this week feeling light, like, man, I just released that. I know God's got it under control. Anyone else feel that? Amen. Amen. So encouraging. Before we move on, is there anything else, maybe to those subjects or something else, but you just, the Lord met you in some way this week. He answered some prayer. He spoke to you. Maybe even as other people were talking or we were singing, you're like, man, I really sense right now that I'm supposed to share this with the church. Oh, I see hands. Okay. All right. Let's see. Keep those hands up. All right, Matt. I'm going to walk around. Go ahead.
All right. I'll keep this quick because we got lots to share. But, I just went into this week. It's kind of different for me this year. You know, I planned on fasting all week, and but I had a procedure done on my shoulder on Friday before, and I had to take some medicine to kind of get through some of that healing and stuff, and so I wasn't able to fast like I wanted to, and me and my wife were kind of struggling a little bit, just nothing bad, but just butting heads, not talking. You know, she likes to be quiet when we fight a little bit, but so long story short, just short with my kids, short with my family, and kind of grumpy because I wasn't able to do what I wanted to do for the week of prayer and fasting. And so I was sitting on the couch Wednesday morning. It's dark. It's quiet. I shared this with a couple other guys. And I was just sitting there. I was reading my Bible, had the fire going, and it's cold out, right? And it's just quiet. And I was just praying, like, I wanted the Lord to reveal to me my heart. I was just asking God, just reveal my heart to me, Lord. Why am I struggling right now? And I was just sitting there, and I prayed that prayer, and I just sat in quiet. And all of a sudden, like, I jumped because there's a piece of firewood that was on the hearth in front of the fire and had been there all night. And it just goes pop. And it didn't like blow apart or anything like that, but it split on one end. It was like an eighth of an inch wide. It was loud. And I was just like, well, that was weird. I just kind of sat there, just quiet, and I could just hear that thing just slowly splitting further. And I mean, it was just like, it was so silent, but it was the loudest noise in the room. And I just felt the Lord showing me, like, this is you. Like, you are dry. You are dry. You're still a piece of firewood, but you're dry. And, you know, I'm a simple man. I'm very simple. You can ask my wife. I don't get symbolism and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, a wet chunk of firewood, a saturated chunk of wood, freshly cut, that has been drying from the root, from the water, you sink an axe into that thing, and water will come out the top, and the fibers will just bend around the axe, and you pull the axe out, and it just closes up. But if you do that with a dry chunk of firewood, your axe is going to bounce off, bounce off, bounce off until it just splits it. There's not going to be any give and any flex. And I just felt like the Lord that was just revealing my heart to me that I was just dry. Yes, I'm reading my Bible. Yes, I'm praying. Yes, I'm going to church and all the things. But my walk with him is just dry, and there's no flexibility. And the minute I was under any pressure, I just split and just broke. And so I just want to encourage you guys, if you're wondering why you are the way you are, you're just not on par, just seek the Lord. Ask him to reveal your heart, and he'll do it. And he'll do it in a way that you'll understand it. And I'm so thankful that the Lord just knows I'm an idiot and just shows me in a way that I will see what he's trying to communicate to me. So,
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Wait. Here you go, brother.
This was my first time doing fasting, and I've been having an ongoing issue in my life for months, almost going up to a year, and it's led to a lot of built-up anger in my heart and resentment, and I've been trying to learn how to listen to the word of God in myself, and one thing that came out of this week of fasting was a passage, Romans 5:3-5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character hope. And once I read that, it just hit me so hard, and all the anger that had been building up in me for so long it's melted away, and I've discovered a lot more compassion for all these things that are causing this anger that I didn't know I could have. So thank you, Jesus, for changing my heart.
Amen. 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 We got time for like one or two more. Here you go.
So I've been gifted with making a short story long, but I won't. But last couple of weeks, I've been preparing for an upcoming event, and I've been frantically trying to get some help and was unable to. And last Sunday, I was pleading with the Lord, I need some help. And that Sunday after church, I acquired some, and it's been just a miracle, the person that he gave me to help me throughout this last week to get ready to go to this event. And it's just miraculous how the Lord waited to the last moment to answer the prayer. But he's been faithful.
Amen. Thank you, David. All right. Go, Hannah, over here. Here you go.
So this is my first week of doing prayer and fasting. I've never thought about it before. But God was really leading me to fast me time when the kids are in bed and the house is finally settled, you know, to do whatever I want to do. So Sunday night, you know, open my Bible and I'm just asking God, where do you want me to read? Where do you want me to be? I just read in 2 Samuel where I'm studying. Monday night, I open my Bible and my pen's in Isaiah 42. No idea how it got there. I'm not in Isaiah, but I just feel the Spirit telling me this is where I want you. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. And I read the first sentence and I'm just sobbing. And it was just, okay, the Spirit saw me. God saw what I needed. He knew what I needed to read. And so that night it was 42. Next night, Isaiah 43. The next night, Isaiah 44. And just the message he just told me through it was, he is causing new events to come. He is making a way when there's no way, a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And he is going to restore and redeem the ruins. And he's going to restore what the enemy has stolen from me. And it was just really reminding me to look to the promiser, like Chris has said, looking to the promiser, not to always to the promises, and to seek him and to seek him first. And I am one where my circumstances have not changed. My situation and my family is still the way it has been for a few years, but I was able to wake up in the morning with the joy that I haven't had for quite a while. Just a joy in the Lord and the joy that strengthens me, and to be able to show my children also that the joy of the Lord is what you need. You don't need what the world says you need. You don't need to rely on anybody, but you need to rely on God. And it just was just so cool to see him work in that way, and just the joy that he gave me.
I think we got time for like one more. Maybe we'll see. Judy, I saw your hand go up.
All right. One of the things that I struggle with is doubting if I really heard the Lord's voice. And especially when I think I have and then things go awry, then I start to second guess. And I do live alone. I don't have a TV. I don't have the internet. So I do have a lot of time with the Lord. And I love it and I value it. But sometimes even then I can get stagnant. But one thing that he did for me this week is confirming and affirming that I am hearing his voice. And how he did that a lot through me is I would be in the Word early in the morning and I would just write and journal what he spoke to me. And then I would go to the prayer meetings and the words that were being spoke, the songs that were being played were affirming that, yes, I am hearing what he says. And I also feel that he uses me to encourage other people in the church. I'll get a verse and just text it out. So it was just a confirmation that, yes, Judy, you don't need a doubt. Because when I doubt, I get dismayed. The waves go and I go back and forth. And then I'm between flesh and the spirit. And it was just a great way of strengthening that muscle of not doubting, but having in faith, even if I'm struggling, that yes, I am hearing his voice correctly.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Is there anyone that feels like you have something you have to share? I want to honor your faith. We can run a little long, but if you really feel like you're supposed to share it, I want to honor that. So
I don't really want to share. I just have to. So at one of the very first prayer meetings, the song that Brendan sang was God Really Loves Us. And that has just stuck with me all week long. The fact that those four words, God, Almighty God, really loves us. And I've just been seeking him all week. Some of you know I was in an accident before Christmas. And my neck has been killing me. I've been all stoved up for, like a month and a half. And on Wednesday, Brother Dylan was kind enough to be really loud and tell everybody, this guy needs prayer. And it turned into a time where, we got chairs in the middle of the room. People are coming up and getting prayed for. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want to stand up and walk to the middle of the room and get prayed for. Like, I'm just a little hurt. Other people actually need help. And I think it was Chris sitting in the background. I heard him go, it's not optional. And then in my mind, all I can hear is, you don't have because you don't ask. And so I stood up and sat in the chair and got prayed for. And I don't know how to explain this. Like, probably half hour later, we're leaving, and I'm like, my neck doesn't hurt as bad as it did. I'm like, okay, maybe that's just in my head. Maybe I'm making this up. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I'm laying there on the pillow, and I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, what? This is weird. Like, my neck doesn't hurt. And I woke up the next morning, and, like, I'm healed. My neck doesn't hurt. I know our Lord can do miraculous things, and all it takes is a mustard seed of faith. Like, do you believe God really loves us?
So, amen.
All glory to him.
To add to that, I'm in the middle of praying for Teresa Ganaway with some other people. And I hear that still small voice, go lay your hand on Ben's neck and pray for him. And I'm like, really, Lord? I'm like in the middle of praying for someone else. And it's like, what I heard was, it's not an option. And so I'm like, okay, well, someone else was there praying with her. So I just went over and laid my hand and started praying. And like, there's nothing special about me. I just think it was the Lord teaching me like obedience. Just do what I say. I'm going to do something here. And so when I heard that, when he shared that after, I'm like, well, now I know why he told me to do that. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there anything else anyone feels they really need to share? Okay.
Obviously, people understand my speak. Mm-hmm. No, I'm usually early sleep, 8 o'clock, evening, 8 o'clock, yawn. I have to sleep, go back. Then early get up, 3 o'clock, morning. I can't sleep, so my lamp place Bible open. I want to memorize, you know, memorize. I don't know what the word I need to have. You understand the word? Tell him. They memorize. Then I come kitchen. I forgot to. So I go back, look, read, to do something. I forgot to. Okay. To look again, then place my Bible over. Then, so Jesus said, you memorize good, but do what I say. Do what I say. Memorize okay, good, but you do what I say.
Amen. Obedience.
Yeah, I so happy. So Bible word true. So true.
Yes.
Everything true.
Yes.
The forgive, sometimes forgive my husband. Just say, I forgive you before. Wow. Then I forgive you, then do again. Oh, mean look. Then I forgive you. Hard inside. James? No, problem one, third. They say, keep inside heart. Mm. You know, Bible word?
Yeah.
But memorize, keep inside heart.
Amen.
Inside heart, say, forgive. Then I look him smile. He say, yes, no, you quiet. I usually lot of talk to him. You never quiet. You know, you talk too much. You change some. You know, he said.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Give him back the Bible.
No.
Thank you. Thank you. One more thing. If you guys didn't get to share, come and share it with me personally, because I would really love to hear your testimonies, but I'm just trying to think of the kids' ministry workers back there. There is one thing I want to share, though, too, that in a special song that I know the ladies have been working on, something that I thought was really awesome this year was that this heart to draw near to God in prayer and fasting, spreading beyond just our church walls in this community. Last year, a good friend of mine, Pastor Rich from Bethany Lutheran, who I pray with every week, wanted to get involved, and we had our afternoon prayer meeting there. We did that again this year, but then another church, another brother, another friend of mine, Pastor Ray Bergeson from the Mission Christian Fellowship, where we do Breakthrough there on Tuesday nights, he wanted to get involved. And so we did the prayer meetings there. And I just loved the unity in coming to Jesus and praying, especially for revival in our churches and in this community. And I'll tell you what, there is this, like, what I say, a false wall that the enemy's tried to manufacture between different denominations, different churches, that really is just, it's just that. It's a false wall. It's a lie of the enemy that somehow we're on different teams and we're against each other and we're not united. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, false religions or like cults. I'm talking about Jesus preaching, gospel believing churches. We're all one family. All right? And we have to understand that when we get to heaven, there is no going to be like, here's the Baptist section, here's the Lutheran section, here's the non-denominational, the weird people, we put them in the front. It's not going to be like that. We're all one family, and we're going to be worshiping God together. And so whereas we might have secondary theological differences, those aren't the main thing. Our main focus is Jesus and on knowing him and making sure other people know him. And we can unite and absolutely rally against that. And we certainly can come together and pray together. And so I just saw those walls breaking down. And there's this great new song out that talks about the church in that right biblical way and the right way to see it. And so this is going to be the last song we're going to do today. And I'm going to have these ladies, I know I kind of put them on the spot this week to learn it, but they'll pull it off because they're gifted by the Lord. So let's go ahead and stand and worship on this last song.
Chris texted our group chat from our small group the story of that morning where joy broke out in the room, and I was just praying and spending time with the Lord, and I had my phone. I shouldn't, but I did. But I saw that text, and it brought so much joy to my heart, and I felt the Lord whisper something in my heart in that moment. And he said, man, this is amazing. You know, he was like, man, this was amazing. It was such a cool morning to see the way the Lord worked. And I felt the Lord speak to my heart and say, like, what if we expected that all the time? Mm. And I just was over here, and I was just like, just felt the Lord speak it again and tell me to come up and share this with you guys, that this is the normal Christian life. Yeah. The testimonies you heard, that does, it's not supposed to stop here. Mm. The miracles, like we just sang, these miracles that we're seeing, the presence of God in your life, your experience of him daily in each moment, the way he's speaking to your hearts, it wasn't supposed to be for a week of the year. Mm. It's supposed to be every day. And so, yeah, I just felt the Lord put on my heart to encourage you guys. This is the normal Christian life. You're experiencing it right now. You're hearing about it right now. This is the invitation of God to every believer, is to live every day this way in these testimonies that you heard today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. No, that's a solid word, and I think the Lord gave me a verse to go along with that, because this is there's a verse that he put on my heart. It's kind of like a theme for us going into the rest of the year, and that's Colossians 4:2, where Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So as Alex was saying there, this isn't like a one-week thing. This is a rhythm that the Lord set for our lives to continue in steadfastly, which means consistently, as we go in forward, following him in our lives. And prayer is one of those things that we're to consistently keep doing. And it'll allow us to be watchful. Watchful of what? Watchful of what the Lord wants to be doing. On guard against the enemy and his lies. And with that watchfulness and seeing God and what he wants to be doing and experiencing the fruit of it, will come thanksgiving. A heart of thanks, heart of joy, heart of praise. That's what the Lord wants for us. Amen? We have three different opportunities to continue in prayer, corporate prayer meetings. Every church service, every Sunday at 9, right before church, just got to get up a little earlier, there's prayer in that room. It is not just for the super holy people, okay? Because there is no such thing. Where you're either a saint or you ain't. If you put your faith in Jesus, you are a saint. And you are welcome to come before him and pray, all right? Every morning, we have a prayer group. It's a small prayer group, but a faithful prayer group. And we meet in a house in Astoria, and we pray at 6:30 on Wednesday mornings. I believe the Lord gave me a vision. We'll see. But he wants that to become something that's going on all over this county. So if that resonates with you, maybe the Lord was even speaking to you of like, you know what? I would love to get together and pray with people weekly. If you would love to host like a prayer group at your house weekly at some time, doesn't have to be first thing in the morning, though I do think there's something special about that because Jesus did that often, but maybe it's in the evening. But come talk to me, because I'd like to pray that through with you and see if the Lord would spark up a prayer group in Seaside, a prayer group in Napa, prayer group all over. Just people coming together and praying weekly, just like we've been doing this week. And then also, we have our first Thursday of the month. It's this Thursday, Seek Night, where we set a day aside at the beginning of the month to fast all throughout the day and pray, and then come together at 7 out here at the church and have a prayer meeting where we just simply seek Jesus, we worship, we pray, we break our fast with a meal together. I'm hoping that because of what God did this week, you didn't hear that and go like, oh no, we got to fast again. Like, I'm hoping you're like, oh yes, I can't wait. But there are opportunities in addition to that personal time the Lord wants you to spend with him. and what that looks like. Don't let this just become something that happened this week, but let it be just like that fire that's burning in that picture right there, something that you're throwing logs on that thing, and you're stoking that thing up, that fire of your relationship with the Lord, through devoting yourself to him, through giving him that time, through continually bringing things to him so that he can revive them in your life. Amen? Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Let me pray and we'll get dismissed. Lord God, thank you so much for all you did, all you are doing. Lord, this is the first time I think we've ever had kind of a prayer week of prayer and fasting recap where we didn't have time to hear everybody's testimony. So praise the Lord for that, Lord, because that's just evidence of your faithfulness. As Ephesians 3:20 says, it's exceedingly more than we might ask or imagine. It's always bigger and better with you, Lord. And we're thankful this privilege of prayer, this privilege of connecting ourselves to you and relying on you instead of anything else is available to anyone that has placed their faith in Jesus at any time. There's nothing too small that you don't care about. There's nothing too big that's an easy thing for you to handle. So we'd be absolutely crazy to not call out to you, to not seek you for help, to not seek you for wisdom and direction. And we, just like your disciples, we ask, teach us to pray. Teach us to become people of prayer. Teach us this to be our first instinct. When anything is going on in our lives, to just bring it before you and look to you to help us in it. And if there's other things, Lord, that we need to bring to you that maybe we didn't this week, continue to bring those things to our minds. Lord, we trust you. We know that whatever you have for us is always better than anything we give, and we don't want to miss out on anything you have. So we want you to revive our lives. And as you revive our lives, would you revive this community you put us in? Will you revive the rest of this world through our lives as you work through us as your witnesses through the salt and light in that darkness out there? Because we know there's a lot of people that don't have the hope of Jesus, and we're here to share what you've shown to us and to give to them what you've given to us, this free gift of salvation that comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. May we be so filled to the brim, all the churches, Lord, thank you for the unity you're producing, but all the churches that are preaching your word, that are preaching Christ and Christ crucified, would you fill them all to the brim with people searching for you? We thank you, Lord, that we can pray these things in total faith, knowing that according to your word, they're exactly what you want to do. And we're thankful that we get to be a part of any of it. And that we're most thankful for this relationship, a relationship where you want us to be close and connected, intimately involved with our Father. Not distant, but in line with you so you can just lead and guide us through this life right into the next. So maybe we go from here connected, Lord, focused on you. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys.